This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Much has been written about how much data the NSA's Utah facility will be able to hold when it opens this fall. Estimates come in yottabytes and zettabytes, bewildering terms for trillions of terabytes. For some sense of scale, 400 terabytes could hold all of the books ever written in any language. That's just the government stores, never mind corporations and scientists and pollsters. It is mind-boggling to imagine how much digital detritus we leave behind on a regular day, or envision just how big big data is, or how it sounds. Media artist Brian House tracks his daily movements and locations with sound, creating an audio analog of his life in the digital age. That's a sample from Brian's Quotidian Record Project. He teaches at Rhode Island School of Design and is on the line with more. Brian, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
All right, so more on the Quotidian Record, which is an actual record, you know, like an LP that goes on a turntable. So what are you tracking, and how do you turn it into that rhythm we just heard?
Well, this began actually with a project called Open Paths, which was part of an initiative at the New York Times Research and Development Lab. And what OpenPath does is it allows you to record the data that's generated as you move about the world in the course of your everyday life. This is data that Apple is also collecting, for instance, you know, Google, if you have an Android phone. It's being collected by your service provider, whether that's Verizon or AT&T or someone else. But what's interesting is that you don't actually have access to that raw data yourself unless you have a third-party app such as OpenPaths, which lets you kind of see what type of data is out there that's being generated. And so in working on this project, I had a year's worth of my location data. And looking at an entire year, you see a lot of little narratives about your life. It's revealing, you know, the patterns that you go through on a day-to-day basis that you might not think about, but which are really part of the fabric of your identity, of who you are.
Well, when you say record where you were, those locations don't actually have a sound. You assigned a sound to them?
Right. So I turned to sound not because there's a certain sound of these places, but because you experience music intuitively. You feel music. You emotionally respond to music. And so, you know, in putting data into music, it allows you to have a visceral sense of what this data is.
One of the things I noticed, though, is it sounded, that little piece that we just heard is pretty rhythmic. Does that mean you have kind of a normal routine that you get up, you go to work, then you go to this part of the studio? I mean, is that what we're hearing when we're going beep, 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 that kind of thing?
Well, you know, I mean, I think we are creatures of habit by nature. We have routines that we go through every day. And, you know, and as I moved around New York City over the course of that year, certainly there were cycles, you know, day to day as I go to work and home and, you know, the different places that make up my life. The rhythmic aspect of the piece does have to do with the meter. So I was establishing a cycle in those pulses. You hear a kind of an underlying tempo, and each of those pulses actually corresponds to 2 hours of lived time. So it's a meter by which people can interpret the music, that can relate to it.
I'd like people to hear another example of how you create sound out of experiences. This is Black Box, a sonic notation of the 2011 car crash of Massachusetts Lieutenant Governor Tim Murray. What are we hearing here, Brian House?
I was attracted to this story of the lieutenant governor crashing his car. He was going 108 miles per hour, and this was the middle of the night, and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and he crashed directly into a kind of rock wall on the side of the highway. And, you know, I think there hasn't been an answer to what he was doing that night that satisfied the press, and the kind of controversy around that it was based on people trying to come up with an idea of what really happened. And data played an interesting role in that there happened to be a black box recorder in the car. It was a government-issued car that pulled down all these sources of data of whether, you know, when the airbags came out, the speed of the car, seatbelts, you know, a lot of rich information. And the idea was that once this data was released, we'd know what really happened that night. We'd know if he was lying or not, if there was something he was covering up, or if, you know, his story about just not being able to sleep that night, if that were true. But when the data came out, it actually only increased the controversy. It only increased the speculation, right? It brought up more questions than it answered. And so in thinking about the role that data plays in our society, I thought this was kind of a compelling example of how data is always interpreted, right? It always has this kind of subjective qualitative element. And it's always a retelling, a re-performance, if you will, of something that happened in the past. So by working with a group of musicians and composing a piece for them and having them play this, you know, they're kind of re-embodying it in a way and telling their own story of what happened.
What are they playing? I mean, you're using acoustic instruments there rather than the sort of beeps and blurps of the quotidian record. So are they playing a respective piece of information?
Yeah, so there's three musicians, two guitars and a saxophone. One guitar is playing the percentage which the lieutenant governor has pressed down the gas pedal. So the faster he plays, you know, the more pedal to the metal that is going on. The other guitarist is playing the RPMs of the engine itself. So the faster that that's going, the faster the car is moving. And the saxophone is kind of playing the overall acceleration of the vehicle. So that's kind of a drone through most of the first part of the piece. But at the end, there's a fairly elaborate saxophone solo, which is quite virtuosic, played by Stephen Lefou. That sax solo corresponds to the car flipping around in space, you know, at the moment of impact.
When I'm listening to your quotidian record, for example, imagining your sort of human activities being assigned with a digital sound, I'm wondering how you feel like those two come together. When you hear the finished musical pieces, do you become aware of things that you wouldn't otherwise notice just by looking at data? Do you become aware of the way you carry yourself through a day other than, you know, you might just do by regular human memory?
What I'm interested in these pieces is really twofold. On the one hand, I am interested in experiencing the memory of my life in different ways and exploring, you know, how you can frame things that say more about duration. We take photos in these exceptional moments, right? When something exciting happens and you want to document it and you make an image that you keep as a keepsake. But there's something a little bit false about that. It's not the complete picture of your life when there's so much that happens in the gaps, right? We spend a lot of time waiting around or in transit. And this is really more of the fabric of everyday life. It's these small gestures that compose who we are more than these photographs of our vacations or when we're out with our friends. So there's part of these projects that's interested in that and how sound might be a way in which we can document that type of experience. Well, secondly, these pieces are about data and about increasingly the role that data is playing in our lives, whether we're aware of it or not. By leaving this trail of information, it's these types of everyday habitual experiences that are actually open to interpretation by corporations and by the state, whether it's surveillance and comparing your patterns against persons of interest or terrorism or whatever it is that the government might be interested in looking at, or whether it's someone like Facebook or Google looking through this content to figure out advertising opportunities. And so in a way, I want to resist both of those uses of data and provide something that's a bit more about personal expression. It's about subjectivity, and it's about the body. It's how these things are experiential.
Well, Brian, I hope at least this interview ends up with a good pitch.
Thank you.
Brian House, a media artist whose work has been featured in Time, Wired, and the New York Times. He teaches in the Digital and Media program at RISD and is a former member of the New York Times Research and Development Lab. To hear other samples of his quotidian record and see more on his project, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org.